World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, so much going on. Pardon me, cleaning off my glasses here. I actually don't wear glasses. These are dollar store glasses. 1.5, I think, is what I get. I got them laying everywhere. Some of them are dirtier than others. You know, Bible says that shall know the truth. The truth, if you know it, shall make you free. And yeah, I don't know what you guys think. Almost every day, I come across something that really makes me stop and think, no kidding. I mean, I literally like say that to myself. No kidding. They've been telling me this. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Have you guys seen this now? The next one, I'm not going to throw anything up on the screen, but have you seen this one? The next one now is they are dropping boxes of ticks. Has anybody followed that other than me? That they're now finding boxes of ticks that have been dropped from whatever out into fields to what? Spread something. I mean, what kind of diabolical mind comes up with that kind of stuff? And they, well, there is a devil, isn't there? Diabolical, Diablos, that's where it comes from. Diablos, diabolical, the devil. And the devil's in a constant battle to do bad or to counter Christ, I guess. Now, you know, you could say, you know, Coach, I a lot of religion out there. I don't know if I believe that Bible stuff anymore. Okay, well. You don't have to believe that Bible stuff, but I don't think there can be any doubt as you look around or as I look around that there's such a thing as good and evil. What? Well, you know, whoever gets to define good, whoever gets to define evil, they're kind of in the catbird seat. And one of the things that kind of crept into Christianity is loving, for instance, loving gay people is good. Promoting homosexuality, that's good. That's good. So when they change the standards, then we get confused. And that's why you can go into a church today or see, you can go Google online and you will find what they call gay affirming churches, gay affirming. Well, the question becomes then, can you remain gay and be a Christian? And you'll come into some of the churches that will say, well, heck yes, Jesus loves everybody. He loves everybody. We all know that. But see, there's limitations to it, right? Say, oh, you love men. You're a man. You love men. Well, Jesus loves everybody. He made you that way. Good, good, good. Well, what about if that man, that same person, wants to have sex with little boys? Is that okay? Did Jesus make him okay? See, it's a slippery slope. When you change the standard, it's a slippery slope. I just got so much stuff that I want to say. I want you to know this from my standpoint. Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. I'm not afraid to say, you know, I was wrong about that. And as all of you know, the theme here at Coach Dave, you wouldn't believe the email. I ought to do a show just every day, read emails that people send me who totally, completely misunderstand what it is that we talk about here. And they're not spirit-filled. Look, friends, there's a difference between being saved and being spirit-filled. To me, I believe they're two different processes. Maybe I'll do a show on that. Because Spencer, if you can get this, I'm going to have Dr. Paul send you $10, okay? Find in the book of Acts, it's in the book of Acts, where somebody comes along and says, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Does anybody know where that would be? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He asked him, and they said, what? Huh? What are you talking about, Willis? What are you talking about, Willis? Spence was fine and all. Somebody's got to send you some money. It's in Acts 2. And I would say that a lot of people I come in contact with, here's what I believe. They've never received the Holy Spirit. They've never received the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. So Paul's out traveling one way and Apollos is traveling another way, and they come together in Ephesus. Paul wrote the book to the Ephesians. I'm not a biblical scholar. And he said to them, who did? And it came to pass a while, Paul, having passed through upper coast to Ephesus, comes and finds these disciples, these Christians out there. And Paul says, hey, y'all, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, wait a minute. Stop there. Believed came first. Holy Spirit came next. You guys tracking with me here? Anybody out there tracking with me? Because you can be Christian and know all the rules and regulations and all the do's and all the don'ts, and you can be a good guy and all that kind of stuff, but you ain't got no power. Because the power, if we go on, let's keep going here. Let's keep going on. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Anybody want to argue with me as to whether or not he's talking to believers? He's clearly talking to believers. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they looked around and said, what are you talking about, Willis? We ain't never heard of it. They ain't never heard of that. Folks, you go to church with a lot of people who ain't never heard of that. And he said unto them, well, dudes, then what were you baptized through? And they said, well, John, we were dunked. We were dunked in the water. And Paul said, John baptized you with baptism of repentance, dudes. And saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. And when they heard this, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now, anybody listening to this, watching this, whatever, get all the theology out of your head. Would anybody see two different baptisms here other than me? Do I see two different baptisms? He dunked them in water. And after they come up out of the water, he laid hands on them. And then the Holy Ghost came on them. Now, I don't get into the whole, I don't want to divide over tongues and speaking in tongues and yada, 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 yada. Although I believe the Bible says that receiving the Holy Spirit is there's evidence of speaking in tongues. But look, I'm not going to get in that argument. But I believe that we are being, how do I say this in a nice way? Some of you out there know what I'm talking about. Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Where's that, Spencer? Find that for me. You shall receive power. Any power in your life? Any power in your life? You shall receive power. It's good. I'm going to send Spencer $20. And in one place, he's still trying to. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But there it is. Thanks, Spence. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Boy, we spend a lot of time on that, don't we? So don't worry about that. You don't worry about that. But your Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, you cannot witness without the Holy Spirit, folks. And when you do that, when the powers come upon you, you're going to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, some of the hometown places where you go, and every place else. And we have, what I believe, we've made the Holy Spirit with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and dancing and waving flags and speaking in tongues and all that. We've made the Holy Spirit almost weird, for lack of a better word. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit brings power. how you manifest that power, whether you want to speak in tongues and whether you want to wave flags and dance in your church and go to a church that's spirit filled. Can somebody tell me where the unfilled spirit church is? Where's that church that's not filled with the spirit? And we would understand this, that many of you, including me, were a Christian, and nobody ever taught you at all about the Holy Spirit, ever, ever. In fact, they probably made you afraid of it. And the Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit that will guide us to all truth. How do you know just innately that's wrong? That's wrong. Because why? Holy Spirit guides you to all truth. He who was with you is in you. You're the mind of Christ. This is kind of coming out of nowhere today. I think it's really, really important. That some of us can see things that others can't see. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Or did you just receive Jesus? Because if I understand it right, receiving Jesus is just a jumping off spot. Which, in my opinion, is where many, many Christians are. Many Christians. But we've made it, we've made the Holy Spirit super spiritual. And we don't realize how to operate it. Thanks for praying for me. My cold's getting better. Last 3 or 4 days been off. It's just been awful. I'm still blowing my nose a little bit, but I'm getting better. So what I just gave you, I don't know where that came from, but I think that's really, really valuable for you to understand that a lot of people, a lot of Christians that you come in contact with, they're not, folks, I'm sorry, they're not spirit-filled. They're not spirit-filled. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. It's that thing inside of you, when you see evidence of Christ, boom, that little beeper goes off. Beep, beep, beep. And why? Because you're able to communicate in a realm, a heavenly realm here on earth. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The whole idea of the Trinity, I don't know. Can anybody explain the Trinity, how that thing actually works? I mean, really, huh? But the Bible says he is with you, going to be in you. The spirit man. I'm going someplace today. Stay with me. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I hate to interrupt you, but I want to tell this. I think this will help.
First of all, you're not interrupting me if I let you in. Go ahead.
Coach, yeah, thank you. This was impressed upon me or I wouldn't have raised my hand. But hey, when I was a young man, I was in a Bible study at OU where I went to college, and it was a Baptist Bible study. And the leader, they were good men. These were good guys. And the leader, he and I become friends, and he was raised Baptist. He never had heard anything about what you're saying here about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just gave him some things, and he just pressed in. And one night he called me at midnight, and he said, Randy, I was praying in my closet at home. There was not a lot of privacy, I guess. And he said, all of a sudden, I started speaking in tongues. I said, wow. I said, God, he filled you. I mean, you experienced something. It's biblical. And he didn't know anything about it, really. Within 2 weeks later, Coach, his Baptist pastor talked him out of that. And he wouldn't include that in his theology. So, and he was a good man. So there's a lot of good people, Coach, that mm-hmm. get talked out of this because of their denomination.
Amen. where is it? After the rudiments of the world, right? Folks, where is that? Where is that? I thought I had that up here someplace. Vain philosophies. Pull that up. That would be, I got it right here, Spence. In fact, I sent you the link. I sent you the link, Spencer. It says vain philosophies. Vain philosophies. Vain. Stop a minute. Spencer, go to Webster's and look up vain. Vain, empty, worthless, having no substance, no value, or no importance. Fruitless, ineffectual, proud of petty things. Vain philosophies. Anybody ever been in a church where it's empty, worthless? What was the other one up there, Spencer? Having no substance, value, or importance. Mel put in the chat, Ichabod. That'd be a good one to look up. Look that up, Spencer. What does Ichabod mean? Hey, folks, I'm not trying to pull you out of your church. I'm trying to lead you to Christ. And for some of you, your church is the hindrance. Ichabod. Straight out of the Bible. Ichabod means what? The Spirit has departed. Without glory. Or the Spirit's gone. And Ichabod was written over the doorposts. It was a church, but it wasn't any glory in it. The wonder-working miracle power of Christ wasn't there anymore. Etymology. The first book of Samuel tells how Ichabod's mother named him because the glory has departed from Israel. Boy, see, I get into a lot of stuff, right? Ichabod. The Spirit's gone. And that's what's going on in America, what I would call, got it up there on the screen, vain philosophies. I'll take you somewhere with me, if you hang on there with me. All of us are victims of vain philosophies. All of us. What's the theme here? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? And nothing changed my life more when I received the Holy Spirit, but even more than that, when I received the Holy Spirit and I got connected to Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas and Operation Save America, and I went out into the streets and I confronted the devil and the devil's children, and I felt the power. When I felt things come out of my mouth that I could have never said on my own. Somebody give me a thumbs up and know what you're talking about.
Boom.
Huh? And I didn't go out there and speak in tongues and dance around and wave flags. It just, Bible says he'll give you the answer right in that moment. And most of us aren't taught that. We're taught we got to go through the pastor, you got to go through the priest, you got to go through the nuns, you got to always go through them through some higher authority in your own Christianity. It's like having dependent adult children. Anybody got any dependent adult children, 45 years old, and still got to be led around to do, huh? So vain philosophies. In the Bible, vain philosophies refers to human-made systems or thoughts or religious ideas that are empty, deceptive, and not grounded in the truth of God's word. Wow. That's a vain philosophy. The term comes from Colossians 2, and Paul warns believers not to be spoiled or taken captive by philosophy and vain deceit. In other words, religion, denominationalism. Vain means empty, useless, and devoid of truth. Vain, empty, meaningless philosophies. Deceit means intentional misleading. It's designed to lead people away from the truth. Wow. Together, vain philosophies are hollow systems of thought that appear wise or spiritual, but lack genuine spiritual nourishment and truth. Can anybody raise your hands? Hey, Coach, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. I've been to that place, Coach. Yeah, I know. I got it, Coach. I got it. Huh? Paul identifies two main sources of such philosophies. Uh-oh. Traditions of men. Human customs, rules, or teachings not from divine revelation. So you can go right now, pay a lot of money and go to a Bible school, a seminary that doesn't believe in filling with the Holy Spirit. You guys understand that? You understand that? And so they'll teach you all this vain stuff because it's missing a point. And so then the traditions of men are human customs, rules, teachings, not from divine revelation. And the rudiments of the world is the basic principles of earthly wisdom, often rooted in human reasoning rather than in God's truth. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it ain't going to make sense. Go, do, speak. You say, are you kidding me? Huh? They're going to laugh me out. Yeah, they are. Yeah. Why? Because they're following the rudiments of the world and the traditions of men. And you come in with a new philosophy. Historically, Paul identifies Gnosticism, which blended Greek philosophy with Christian ideas, often teaching that salvation comes through secret knowledge rather than Christ's work, and other systems that sought self-improvement or spiritual through human effort, rejecting the sufficiency of Christ. The dangers of these vain philosophies are they can lead believers away from Christ, replacing the gospel with man-made systems. They often undermine the deity of Christ and of the spiritual scriptures, and they may sound appealing intellectually, but they lack spiritual fruit. You can enslave believers to those false beliefs. And Paul's warning was to, it's good, isn't it? Paul urges believers to hold fast to Christ and not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage of such systems. 2 Corinthians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceitful philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So the key takeaway, a vain philosophy is not just a bad idea. It's a deliberately misleading system that appears wise, but it is empty spiritually. Wow. In Christians' teaching, it is the opposite of the gospel, which is after Christ and not after human wisdom. Well, that's a boom, isn't it? Isn't that a boom? And see, if we're going to recruit people into the kingdom, folks, they got to see some fruit. They got to see some fruit. There's nothing worse than people talking about all the power of the gospel and have no power in their own lives. That's vain philosophies.
Well,
it's good, and I'll charge for this one. I'll charge. Just kidding. The Lord gave me this morning. The Lord gave me this. I'm going to stop right now because I want to go deeper. But I don't want to lose this. Folks, listen to me. Many of you are following the vain philosophies of men. We call it religion. My dad, I've told you all this. My dad took me to church. I was a good Catholic boy till nothing against Catholicism. I could say I'm a good Lutheran boy. I'm a good Baptist boy. I'm a good whatever. My father took me to Mass every Sunday. I did all the rigmarole, followed all that kind of stuff. And then when I was 18 years old, I went off to college and found out that my faith wasn't worth anything. No power to it. Couldn't reject in temptation. Changed the Holy Spirit I never had the Holy Spirit, but changed the Holy Spirit for Budweiser. Anybody say amen? They call it spirits, by the way. Called spirits. And so even though my mom and my dad trained me up in the way that I should go, when I got older, didn't part from it. Well, the truth of the matter is, I didn't follow that path. And that's where most of us are right now. And so we have we try to teach it to our children, to our grandchildren. Well, if we're not careful, we're just going to teach them what we had. A powerless Christianity. A powerless Christianity. Look.
Amen.
Hey folks, you can talk about a lot of stuff. I mean, you can get in the chat and you can talk about gas prices and you can talk about, you're missing it. If you're talking about gas prices, you're missing it. You're missing it. This is really, really deep, what we're talking about right here. Because the Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and other most parts of the earth. Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you a churchgoer? A rules follower at your church? Does power follow you? It's supposed to. All right. We'll switch gears. Gene, come on in, Gene. But I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Go ahead, Gino.
I agree with you a lot, Coach, but I fought that for years about receiving the Holy Spirit. Right. I went to a church that spoke in tongues and did everything, and they did not want to accept me because I couldn't speak in tongues.
That's crazy.
I still can't.
That's crazy.
And I've asked God, I believe the book of Acts is when God sent the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's when he sent it. That doesn't mean we have to be willingly enough to listen to what God is telling us. That is the Holy Spirit. Because what draws you to Christ in the first place? The Holy Spirit.
Right.
He's the one that saves. And then we need to open up and listen. We all react differently.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Gino. I couldn't agree more. However, you can't really witness without the Holy Spirit.
Well, when do you receive it then?
Well, some of it, see, if you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I don't think, my opinion, just the fact you speak in tongues.
It's opinion, and I'm not disrupting you.
I'm not taking it that way. It's a valid question.
But I've never received it that way.
I would have never known about being a charismatic until if I hadn't been in an environment. But I want to tell you something. Some people who are charismatic, they worship the gift more than the Lord.
Well, that's true.
So why would you say, Gino, that maybe, why do you think maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit?
Why do I say, do what now?
Why would you say that you don't have the Holy Spirit? Because you don't have evidence of speaking in tongues? Is that what it is?
No, I feel I have the Holy Spirit. I feel led. I feel God leading me.
Cool. That's cool, right? But Gene, you would agree with me that most people sitting in church don't understand that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell inside them and fill them. You would agree with me, wouldn't you? Dead churches? Why are there so many dead churches? And why do people say our church is spirit-filled? As if all churches aren't. You mean you got a church and it's not spirit-filled? What does that even mean? Because they're talking about the gifts, the outward, the dancing and the flags and they speaking in tongues. Well, I think speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Some have it, some don't have it. It's not a salvation issue.
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah. So the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. That's what it's supposed to do, right? And then when it guides us into all truth, go ahead. When it guides us into all truth, we're supposed to do something with it, right? Right? Come on in, Mel. I'm not done yet. Come on in, Mel.
Yeah, I know you're not done. Yeah, I am. I talked to a pastor about this before, and he said that that those gifts were only given to the apostles, in the book of Acts, kind of like what Gene said. And I guess you can read the Bible and think of it that way. I do think of it as a gift. I've prayed and told God that I'm open to it. People have laid hands on me, but it really hasn't manifested with me yet. So I'm open to it. I'm not opposed to it at all. I just think it's a gift right now that I don't have.
I disagree with that.
But anyway, you've got it.
Okay, Gene.
Because you wouldn't have talked. Anyway.
Gene, you.
Okay. So here's what we see, and I'm not being critical. This is how churches divide.
No, I'm not saying that. I want to clarify one thing. I think I have the Holy Spirit. I just don't have the gift of speaking in tongues.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. I agree with that. I'm with you on that. I'm not talking about waving flags and dancing. And I'm not anyone I'm talking about. But folks, if you're not, how do I say this in a nice way? If you're not a witness, that would be a real check to me. If you're not a witness, if you see injustice, you don't speak against it. If you quench the Holy Spirit, whatever he says unto you, do, and you don't do it. That's what I would say. That's what I say. Go ahead, George. I'm not done. I got more coming in here.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the Holy Ghost, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. The Holy Ghost is heavy. And when the Holy Ghost came over me, like a freight train, and I have to tell everybody. And my eyes were opened. This is what happened when the Holy Ghost came over me, flat, wide open. And he showed me everything.
All right. So tell them. Just tell them. Here's what, whoops, my phone's going, what's that? I'm getting coached from a distance here. Okay, so let me move a look. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? Because look, even right here in this close group, this can cause tension. Why does this cause tension? It'd be a good question for us to ask. If there's a Holy Spirit and I can receive it and I can be filled with it, boom, why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want it? And see, we get it all clouded because we make it hyper charismatic, speaking in tongues and dancing and waving flags. And Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you ever feel the Holy Spirit come upon you and you can't shut your mouth? You ever feel that? That happens to me a lot. And I say, yeah, I got to say something. I don't want to, Lord, but I got to say something here. That's the unction of the Holy Spirit. Witness, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and the othermost parts of the world. It's a gift of tongues. That's secondary. It's secondary. Do you have the gift to witness? Do you have the gift to open your mouth and speak the truth? Do you have the gift to have the courage to walk into a crowd and say something that's not unpopular? That's not popular? Do you have that? Do you have that gift? Huh? You know, David Arthur's talking about that. You think that, you know, with what David's trying to do, trying to teach what transgenderism and homosexuality is all. You think that takes a little bit of courage? You got a little bit of courage to go do that? You think the average church will let him in? Well, the hell no. Let him in. Come on, man. Come on. Right? I'm not done yet. Okay, I'm not done. Hey, let me say this. Oh, I feel tension. Huh? Why do I feel tension? Why do I feel tension? Well, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's the question. Jack.
So my question is, if the only fruit that's visible is tongues, is it good fruit or bad fruit?
If tongues is the only evidence, we're missing it, man. Huh? You leave the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Guides you into all truth. Amen. Kimberly.
Coach, you say you feel the tension building.
Yeah.
There's tension here.
Yeah.
I think that's, we all have fear that we don't have the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that could be.
That fear. Could
be. We certainly don't understand it, do we?
Oh, no.
We certainly don't understand the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Randy says, what does Paul mean when he says be filled with it? Be filled. Filled. I'm heading someplace. I hope we get to, so this all makes sense. Go ahead, David.
I just wanted to say too that my first ideas of this was that there's a difference between speaking in tongues or other languages and praying in the Spirit. I believe it's Romans or Acts 8. I can't think right now, but there's a passage where it says that the Holy Spirit will pray when you don't have the words, and he'll do so in moanings and groanings. And so that took over me in a time when I didn't even believe in it. And when I was sitting on a bench in a mall looking at people, like just amazed that the world was in the state that it was in. And I just had the moanings and the groanings. And so that was the beginning of my understanding.
Let me ask you this, David. Different. Let me ask all of you out there. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
What does that mean? I'm not putting you on the spot, Dave.
Spencer, just to be, what does it mean to grieve, be disobedient, right? Maybe to walk in your own way, the vain ideologies, right? The things that are fruitless that don't bear fruit.
Folks, do any of you out there ever grieve over your children? Why can't he get it? Don't you grieve over him? Does the Holy Spirit grieve over us? Say, daggone, it doesn't have to be that way. Oh, gone, right? Through obedience to what the Holy Spirit tells us. That, to me, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Yes, it's supernatural, but we have so mystified it. We've made it so mystified. get this and wave flags and dance and goes babble, speaking tongue. We've made it so mystifying. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach, coming from a pastor who is a Baptocostal, right? Full of the word, full of the spirit. And we don't have running around and, you know, we have the children doing the flags. But, Coach, never build a theology on a single passage of scripture. That's very dangerous. That's where the Pentecostal church came from. It says, and with evidence thereof of speaking in tongues. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But tongues are a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. That's why David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's create right. in me a clean heart, O God. Brother, let me tell you what. Philip, there was nothing in the Bible talks about Philip being baptized, yet Philip was transfigured to another city. Coach, man, let me tell you what. I believe there's an inward salvation, seal of redemption of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there is a gift of speaking in tongues. I believe that's part of the manifestation. And I believe there is an endowment.
Not a salvation.
Yeah, exactly. There's the seal of redemption of salvation in that. But then there is a dunamis power. It doesn't necessarily come on everybody. And matter of fact, Coach, it's not like a gun that sits on your hip that you get to pull out anytime you want and use.
That's right.
It came upon David at certain times. He became very strong. It comes upon Christians. And what you just said, yes. grieving the Holy Spirit is when we do not do what the Lord is unctioning us to do.
That's right.
That is
That's
grieving good. The Holy Spirit. And I teach this about the gift. Here's the deal, Coach. A gift is gift. We give gifts to our children, little toys, right? They play with them for a while, and then they put them in their closet, right? And then we come through and have a yard sale. And what do? We go, listen, there's a truth here. We take those toys, we take those gifts that they no longer want to use, and we sell them in a yard sale and give them to somebody else who will use them. The Holy Spirit is a gift. If we're not willing to use it, that's why David said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. Coach, I believe it should be an active part of our life, but it's not that I have to go around praying in tongues, although that's I do.
That's right.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit, obedience, and allowing the power of God to come upon us. And listen, if you don't have it, look, Flip Benham, he'll tell you. He goes, I don't got it. He goes, but I fully believe it. It's in me and active.
Amen, baby. Amen. 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 Johnny, then I got to get to the second part of this. Otherwise, you guys are going to be left out there flopping a little bit. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's important before my feet hit the ground in the morning, before I get out of bed, I just pray and give thanks to God for a new day that I'm Amen. Still here.
Amen.
And I ask you, Lord, I'm available. I'm available to you, God. Work through me. I'm your hands and feet.
Amen.
And I think if we just make it a point to, and I think everybody in here does that, you know, I mean, there's no reason for us to, challenge everybody else in here. We're all in here searching right. for his That's righteousness. Right. We all want to do his will, I think.
I'd love to have the gift of healing. I'd love to have the gift of healing. I'd love to have that. I'd come through this freaking screen and I'd be laying hands on people. Now, is it I don't have the gift of healing or I don't understand the gift of healing? Do I have it? Is it available to me? Every good and perfect gift is available to me. Is it because I don't know how to exercise
You betcha.
It? I don't understand
You betcha.
It? Right? Is it because I don't really believe in it? Okay, let me move on because I got to connect some dots here. I only got 20 minutes here. Okay, so pull up for me. It says Marxism because I'm going to try to show you something today, what's happened to us. Folks, Marxism has entered into the church. That's why we're not getting anywhere. Marxism has entered the church. Okay, so Marxism, I just did a search, okay? Marxism is a social, political, and economic theory that analyzes society through class struggle and advocates for a classless, stateless society. Started by Karl Marx and Engels in the 19th century, at its core, Marxism argues that history is driven by struggles between social classes, between the haves and the have-nots, between the bourgeoisie, the rich people, and the proletariat, the working class. This conflict is seen as inherent in capitalism, which Marxists view as exploitive and alienating for workers. At the heart of Marxism is the idea that the rich people shouldn't have all their riches and that the poor people ought to share in the riches of the wealthy. Okay, that's at the heart of it. So historical materialism, Marxism posits that the economic base of society, its mode of production, including tools, factories, and stuff, shapes the superstructure, which includes politics, law, culture. That's why the labor movement got so involved in politics, because they wanted to be the counter to the rich business owners in capitalism, okay? But I got to get through this quickly because it's going to make sense, I think, when I'm done. So the key concepts are historic materialism. Marxism posits that the economic base of society shapes the world. Huh? Social change occurs when the productive forces conflict with the existing social relations. At its heart, communism and socialism is overthrowing capitalism. At its heart. And capitalism is what? The idea that whatever you work and earn, you keep. But again, see, we screw it up because we got capitalism, but we don't really have love for our brothers. And so we have, because the church, come on now, because the church no longer helps the needy, we've turned it over to the government to help the needy. The church has lost its power. You ought to be able to go to church if you are part of a local church. And you weekly support it. I don't believe in tithes, the idea of 10%. Anyway, I don't believe in it. It's Old Testament. It doesn't matter. If you go there and you're faithful in that congregation and you have a monetary need, does anybody out there think you shouldn't be able to go to the church and get the monetary need met? It's a storehouse. It's a storehouse. But the church says, what you go to the pastor, you have a monetary need, you go to the pastor, and what's he say? Let's call the government. Tracking with me? This is what communism has given us. They call it socialism, come on, whatever. When bring all the tithe into my storehouse, then it might be meat in my house, so that the people who are struggling ought to get support from the church. There's more money in the church. But the church doesn't see it for that. You give the tithe to the church so the church can get blacktop and smoke machines and padded pews and carpet and pay all types of work. Come on, somebody say boom, coach. Vinny, help me out here. Boom. Boom. That's boom. What. Hey, look. You mean to tell me that you can't go to your pastor and tell them you have a financial need and the church doesn't help meet it? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is that the way the system's been set up? Is that the way it's supposed to work? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. It's easy. I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I got to get. I'm gonna let Clint in. I'm not done. Stay with me. Go ahead. Don't let Clint.
Well, the government has put in place the welfare and everything just for that, so the church will not help.
That's
and
right.
That has been programmed, because used to, you know, the people would help, but now they're taxed so much mm-hmm. that they become resentful, I guess.
But so, Clint, at the heart of it, though, is what I'm trying to get people to see is we have soft Marxism here. We have soft Marxism. You do understand this, folks. Whoever gives you money, you got a debt to them. Come on, you got a debt to them.
That's
so
true.
If a government gives you money, well, you got to toe the party line, or they can take that money away from you, right? And they're not supposed to be any connection, not supposed to be any strings attached to the heart of a Christian or a church to give. Other than, certainly there's church discipline. If they're spending it on the wrong thing and they're lazy, all that, that's something entirely different. See, but what Marxism created and brought into the church is the idea that rich guy ought to give you some of his money. Whether we realize it, that's our government. Tax the rich, right, Jack? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. It's the same thing in the church. Same thing in the church. Because we don't understand this whole idea, how Marxism has crept into it. And they've made it about class struggle, rich against poor. That's Marxism. And so Marxism was the idea that what to each according to his need, from each according to his whatever it is, right? That we would all just out of the goodness of our heart throw it in a big barrel and we would all eat out of that. And we know that that doesn't work. We have in America today Marxism, soft Marxism. You go to the average church and if you need money, they'll refer you to the government. Vinny, give me a boom on that. They'll refer you to the government. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's not the, it's just not. Okay, now I'm not done. I'm running out of time. Then I need some reinforcement here. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, this is good, coach. This is good.
Boom.
Okay, thanks. That's all I need, just one. So Marxism has entered into the church. It's entered into the church. Whether we realize it or not, it's a class struggle in the church. It is, okay? Now, scroll down a little bit more, Spence. See if there's anything on this I don't want to miss. So we're fighting right now in America. We have Marxism. We have it in America today. See, distinction from socialism, while often mentioned together, Marxism differs from socialism and communism. Marxism is a theoretical and political framework. Socialism refers to an economic system. Whether you realize this or not, America has become a socialist country. Do you get that? Where resources are collectively owned, often by the state, and communism is the envisioned end goal of a classless, stateless society. Marxism provides a lens to analyze social, economic, and political structures, emphasizing class struggle and advocating for systemic change toward equality and communal ownership. Okay, good. I got to go to another one here quickly. So bring up number 9, cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism. That's our battle, folks. Cultural Marxism. General Flynn wrote this. It's really pretty good. May 1st. Cultural Marxism refers to a strand of Marxist thought that shifts the focus from classic economic class workers in capitalism, to cultural and social institutions. In other words, it's no longer about finances. It's about color. It's about race. It's about sex, about all this stuff. And it came from Antonio Gramsci. You can read all this. The Frankfurt School, which started it. And so the way we are being conquered today is through what we would call cultural Marxism. Scroll down. This is from General Flynn. It's really good. You can read it on your own. Unlike Soviet-style economics, Marxism, proletariat, this variant sees culture as a superstructure to capture first. If they could just convince all blacks that the government was the answer to their problem, they would build a political machine off of that. You get it? The term is contested. Detractors, often left-leaning, call it a far-right anti-Semitic conspiracy. See, they try to get us to understand from a human standpoint that cultural Marxism, the purpose of cultural Marxism, come on now, is to look around and the purpose of the government is to always take care of the minority. Does anybody see that anywhere but me? Every issue being pushed on us is a minority issue. Blacks, women, homosexuals, I don't care what it is. It's the advancement and helping of the underclass. That's cultural Marxism. They had to make women, what did they do to women? They were oppressed. Women were oppressed. See, it wasn't what it had always been with Marxism, always money and whoever's on top. It wasn't always that. They had to convince the rest of us that we were oppressed. And if you think of the issues that we're dealing with in America today, it's the oppressed and the oppressors. Now they're all mad at the government because why? The government says, Supreme Court said, color your skin ain't got nothing to do with voting. See, they created a problem. And it was a problem. But do all blacks think the same? Do all Mexicans think the same? Do all Anglos think the same? Why in the hell would we want to classify and divide people according to the color of their skin? It's repulsive to think that I think like some other white people. I got some white people in my life I think are freaking idiots. Anybody got any? Huh? But yet they want to classify all of us by the color of our skin? Oppress, oppressor, because of the color of your skin? Do you believe somebody raised in Hebron, Ohio, in the country here, do you think my values are the same as somebody raised in downtown New York? A white person? No, no. So that what government has done is government has come in and they've created minorities that they want to serve. Wow. That's what we're dealing with. Do you understand? Help me out here. How 80% of black people vote Democrat? I'm not picking on black people. Why are Catholics Democrats? Well, because of what they've done here, cultural Marxism. They've made America about the haves and the have-nots, even in your church. This is deeper than you guys are amening. This is deep stuff. And that's why some people were pissed at Trump. Sorry to use that word. They're pissed at Trump because they said, well, he's trying to help the rich. Is it a sin to be rich? Is that a sin? I hope he helps the rich. The problem is the rich don't give out. The rich get taxed so the government can do whatever the hell they want with the money. When, in fact, if they quit taxing the rich, maybe the rich would have more to give out. But the idea that government gets to regulate all that, that's a total complete mindset that we have. Tax the rich! And the church buys into it. Property tax, it's a big thing going on in Ohio right now. They want to do away with property tax. Can you think of any tax you have to pay when you haven't bought anything? So they want to raise a tax on my house just because I've lived here a long time. Now I got to pay more to live here. Why? Well, the government wants more money. Why? Because they got the haves and the have-nots. If you're a have, you should be punished. We need more of your money. That's cultural Marxism. That's basically where America is. We are cultural Marxists. They've been successful at it. Why would we let them, what do they call that, gerrymander? Why would they draw a line down through my neighborhood and divide the philosophy of my neighborhood to include some black people 4 miles down the road? They just want to include them because they're black? What? What about the Chinese? What have I got some Chinese neighbors? Do they get, huh? What about the American Indians? They get gerrymandered? No, 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 no. It's all a divide and conquer Marxism thing that's going on in front of us. And unfortunately, we don't know because we're not taught about it in school. We're not taught about it in school. Think the average kid going to school today could tell you what a Bolshevik was? Trotskyism? Think they don't have any idea. But they sure hate Trump, don't they? And by the way, no mention of Christianity in public schools? That's at the heart of cultural Marxism. Because if you teach kids that there isn't any God, then government's God. And that's what they want. Man, I've gone on a lot. Jeez, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Needed to hear it. Jeff Nell, come on in.
Yes. In 1963, an intake, a lady from Florida who hates Marxism, was told by a Florida Democrat. And in there, it talks about what you have just said.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's just amazing. Do your research.
People are Democrats. They don't even know why they're Democrats. They're just a Democrat because their union tells them to. Their mom and dad were Democrats. They don't have any idea that the Democrats are Marxists. And by the way, the Republicans are Marxist-like. It's really, ain't no Christ in anything that our government's doing. We don't see the Republican Party fight, except for Donald Trump, fighting to reestablish Christ in our nation. And then we get mad at Trump because he's not Christian enough for us. Somebody say amen. Go on in, Kevin.
Are you talking about Ohio trying to do away with property tax? The problem with property taxes, you never own your property.
Never. You never. Stop paying them, they come and take it.
They come and take it.
Kevin, your property is only worth what they tell you it's worth. Nobody knows. Huh?
Yeah, so you're continually taxed on that. And then, but what Missouri's looking at is to replace that income stream, which over 90% of it is for schools, public indoctrination centers.
That's right.
They're going to
teach cultural Marxism to your children.
So they're looking at trying to raise a consumer tax, which will raise our, you know, our sales tax. And but, you know, I'm kind of okay with that. I hate our public school system now. I hate especially the higher level school systems, because that's where the real indoctrination comes in, is, you know, in the colleges and stuff like that.
Kevin, why won't our churches fight for their place at the table in education?
Because they've been indoctrinated and infiltrated. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about all of this, and I don't want to lay where blame goes. But you were talking about the Bolsheviks. You were talking about all the. If you stop and think about everything, it all relates back to these little tiny hats. I'm going to be politically correct, and I'm going to call them tiny hats. And that's because they've been kicked out of 110 countries because of all the things that they were behind. And, you know, they made Jesus mad enough that he told them, and God mad enough that, you know what, you ain't going to ever have a place again. And then we have what we have now, which was this fake state that was set up. And we've got millions and tens of millions and maybe 100 million Christians across our country that believe that you got to worship that country, that place.
Well, not only that, Kevin, no, we've got 60 million Christians who think it's against the law to bring Christ into government. That's what we got. But there's a separation between the church and state, right? That's the problem. The church won't demand their place at the table and teach Christianity, Christian values to Americans. You don't have to be a Christian, but by God, you're going to live by Christian values. You're not going to lie. You're not going to steal. You're not going to covet. You're not going to do that. And the church won't fight for it. Because why? They've been programmed to believe that there's a separation between the church and the state. Jack, quickly.
Add one more thing. Our Constitution was based on a moral and Christian public.
Yeah, who cares about our Constitution? Constitution.
If we don't have that, it don't work.
If you think the Constitution is valid, you're nuts. It's dead. Courts have changed it. Courts have changed the Constitution. Jack.
Okay, so greedy capitalists have plowed the field for cultural Marxism. See? We plowed the field. Republicans plowed the field to create a growing ground for cultural Marxism. Right. I can give you a perfect example. What I know about Maine, 1909, the Republican capitalists were the big textile owners, and they were abusing children and women. So a lawyer, Democrat, banker, senator put in a butt in the Maine Constitution and brought in direct democracy, because the greedy capitalists didn't operate on biblical principles.
See, it doesn't matter whether you're a capitalist or a socialist. If you're Christian, you ought to act like one. Got a roll, Jack. Yeah. Jeff, fine, quickly.
Coach, I'll tell you the results tomorrow morning. Today, the churchgoers are going to vote to give Mount Vernon City Schools $600 million over the next 30 years. It's not a raise on your property tax. They say it's just 1% on your income. Here we go. And these churchgoers are going to vote it in.
I didn't even get a chance to finish cultural Marxism, right? To understand exactly what they've done to us. The idea that they think that it's the job of the government to take your money and give it to somebody else. Does anybody think that's okay? How did that ever happen in America? And the church is happy because the church doesn't have to help the needy. The government will. See you tomorrow.